Good morning. My name is Giuliana Pagliari, Head of Investor Relations. First of all, I would like to welcome all of you here in London and also all of those that are connected via the webcast. Welcome. We are here today to review the three-year business plan of Banca Generali. We have prepared a rich agenda with many contributions from our top managers and also very relevant guests. First of all, let me show you the disclaimer. I'm sure you are all well aware of it, so I won't go through it. I will go through the agenda instead. We will start with a presentation from our CEO, Gian Maria Mossa, with the preliminary remarks. And then we have the pleasure of having here the founder and CEO of Saxo Bank, Kim Fournet. Kim will outline the benefits and the value of the BG Saxo partnership. Then Riccardo Renna will give an update on the digital transformation at Banca Generali, and Andrea Ragaini will give us the update on the new business initiative in the Wealth Management division. This will be the first session of the presentation today. We will end with a coffee break, 20 minutes, and then back with Marco Bernardi. Marco Bernardi will outline several interesting topics on our financial advisors network, with a special contribution of two successful financial advisors of Banca Generali. Then we will go through financial with Tommaso Di Russo, and then to end the presentation, there will be Gian Maria Mossa. He will focus on the international expansion. I know you have all received the press release this morning, and also there will be a wrap-up on financial targets. At the end of his presentation, there will be time for a Q&A session, and we will cover all the untapped topics that you might raise. And at the end of the Q&A session, there will be a lunch buffet where you will have further opportunities to talk to the top management. So I will say it's time to start, and so I will ask Gian Maria Mossa to join me on stage.
Thank you, Giuliana.
Please, hand over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to the presentation of our three-year plan. I'm delighted to stand in front of you today because we have the possibility to show you why the top management and I strongly believe that there is a great opportunity to create even more value for all the stakeholders going forward. Of course, we will go through all the main initiatives and projects behind our business plan, but first of all, let me start from our ambitions. Because on one hand, we want to consolidate our strengths. On the other, we want to work on our area for improvement. And the starting point is to consolidate our leading position in empowering the best financial advisors in the market. We want to be the first choice for the clients, for the quality of our financial advisors, the quality of the service we provide, focus on protection first, and for a new digital presence that will allow us to work on better on all our customer base. Last but not least, we want to set up long-term growth engines, new long-term growth engine, in particular, expanding our footprint internationally. And you probably read this morning our press release, the acquisition of a wealth management company in Switzerland, Valeur. So before jumping into the future, let's start from the numbers. First of all, this plan is based on growth. We have several initiatives. Part of these initiatives are already up and running. Others will be launched next year, and we are confident to exceed 14.5 billion euro of net profit or net inflows. And we have a target of a total AUM between 76 and 80 billion euro. We are talking about profitable growth. We set the floor in terms of profitability in line with the profitability of our core business of this year, and this is slightly above the last 3 years average. We are very focused and very convinced to achieve this profitability thanks to a multi-project approach. We want to continue to excel in operating leverage, so the range of growth of cost, operating costs, core operating costs, so excluding Salesforce, will be in the range of 3-5%. And we confirm our dividend payout policy. Payout ratio will be in the range 70-80%. And we set also a floor in dividend payments, in absolute terms, for the years in which the recurrent fees, the more volatile components of our recurrent fees can have a sort of blip, for example, this year. So we set this floor at 1.25 euro per share. And this dividend, this floor, will be also for this year. From a capital perspective, we are confident to keep a very solid position. And we will see later what our projection in terms of the most important capital ratios. So, as I said, there are several initiatives behind these targets. But before jumping on these initiatives, let me invest a few minutes in explaining what Banca Generali represents today. I'm very honored to manage to serve 220,000 clients for 58.5 billion euro, thanks to 2,000 financial advisors, best in class in terms of productivity and average portfolio. Our business is a revenue-driven business, recurrent revenue business. That means that we are very focused on net interest margin and recurrent fees. And we are very confident to manage cost, both the payout ratio and operating cost. From a capital perspective, balance sheet perspective, we are best in class in terms of liquid ratio and capital ratio. And we have more than 25% of securities of our banking book will expire before the end of next year. So great flexibility. We are the best place to work for financial advisors, and this is the result of multiple surveys. And our clients, on average, are the most satisfied. But these results are the results of a clear strategy launched at the end of 2013. At that time, the bank was a complete different animal. At that time, we managed 29.1 billion. And in 5 years, we more than doubled the bank. And we gained 3.3 percentage points of market share. And probably what is even more amazing is that this growth has been driven by our financial advisors. The average portfolio increased by 10 million euro. And to compare this number with the market, you have here the increase of the average of the market, 6 million. We said that this growth was really profitable, and we are very committed to continue to generate new revenues. Here you can say you can see the gross core banking income rising over the time despite a negative contribution on net interest income. And from this year, you know that net interest income is bottoming out. So you will have support from both recurring fees and net interest income for the foreseeable future. And it's probably even more interesting considering these revenues, looking at the cost. For every 1 euro of operating cost, we generate more than 6 euro of gross revenues. And this means to have a great operating leverage. From a balance sheet perspective, in 2013, in our balance sheet, you had 2.3 billion euro of client deposit. We almost tripled. Now we reach 7.5, 81% of total balance sheet. And total capital ratio increased by an astonishing 5%. It means greater flexibility for the future and not financial leverage. So as I mentioned, this is the result of a clear strategy. At that time, we launched a strategy based on five pillars. The first one was about people and organization. We strengthened and we consolidated the management team. I'm very proud of them. Very performing, well experienced, great competencies, but even more great values. And we have all a strong sense of belonging. We perceive our bank. And we redefined all the organization of the bank, the governance of the bank, to work on three major pillars. Probably you may already know about that. The digital mindset, the wealth management approach, and the excellence of our financial advisors. And the priorities were pretty clear. We wanted to be the first choice for the financial advisors and be recognized as a premium brand. And we overachieved in both results. Digital mindset. We completed the turnaround of IT system and IT culture in the bank. We reviewed all the system, FAs, banks, and clients. Wealth management approach, and sorry, and we start a new wave of running IT system. We introduced the concept of the ecosystem approach, what now we call open banking, connecting the bank to the best platform worldwide. Wealth management approach, at that time it was just aspirational. We raised the bar, we start providing from traditional financial planning services to a holistic approach. Wealth management, wealth connected to the priorities of the family. And we completely review all the product offering. We leverage the capabilities of the insurance offering, we leverage Generali, and we launched wrappers, and we launched alternative products. Financial advisories, we reorganized the network, and we work more and more on values and the quality of the relationship. So if I think to the future, I have in mind exactly the same priorities, but with a different flavor, because now we are a different animal. So we start from our existing core business, and we are all aware about macro and regulatory environment on Italy, but we still think that the fundamentals are great. From a wealth perspective, Italy is the place to invest. First of all, starting from total financial assets wealth. End 2013 and 2017. Total financial wealth up 400 billion euro. And this is driven by a rebalancing, a structural rebalancing between real estate and financial assets. And real assets account for more than 60% of the total wealth. So there is still room to get better rebalancing. And if you look at this graph at the top, on the left, you can see that we still have 2.9 trillion euro invested in current accounts and securities. And the total amount invested in managed product are still below the average of our European neighbors. Even most important, from a distributional perspective, the asset gathering business, the financial advisors market, gained 2.5% of market share. But we still represent less than 10% of the whole market. So we have a blue ocean in front of us. So rebalancing from real estate to financial investments. Plenty of assets still invested in current accounts and securities. A long journey of rebalancing in the distribution model in Italy will allow us to continue to grow on our core business. So, nothing new, everything new. We will continue to run our business, but with different priorities. And in the digital mindset, we are ready to leverage our digital footprint to increase the quality of services for all our customer base, for all our customer base, 220,000 lower affluent, upper affluent private clients. And we want to leverage our international partnerships, Saxo First, and you will hear more about it in a few minutes. Wealth management approach. First, protection, hedging strategies, alternative solutions, increasing services for our entrepreneurs, lending. We have to leverage one of the main factors of our success, being perceived as the safest harbor. Excellence of FAAs. We have to share the best practice, so cross-fertilization. We want to formalize the team working and will be one of the excellence to strengthen the excellence of our financial advisors, similar to something run normally in US. And from the brand perspective, of course, we want to continue to be the first choice for our financial advisor, as well as for clients in terms of digital touch points. But we also mentioned new growth engine, and so Switzerland first. So I'm very confident that we have several initiatives, very concrete, tangible, ready to start. Part of these initiatives has been launched a few months ago. Others will be launched in the next few weeks. And we have a new digital framework, first time ever for us. We want to be leader in the private banking as well as in the digital touch point for our clients. And this will allow us to work on all our customer base. And when I think of technology, digital mindset, my first thought is about Saxo. I think that it is one of the rare cases where the sum of 1 + 1 equals more than 2. The best IT platform, the best fintech bank, and the best distribution channel in Italy. And I'm very honored to have here with us the founder, Kim. We share the same values. We are all committed to create value in a transparent and sustainable way. And we will go through our main pillars of the strategy. First with Riccardo, digital mindset. Concretely, he will show us our new digital presence. It will show us what ecosystem approach means and why we are so different from others. Andrea will go through all the initiatives. You will see the amount of initiatives and projects. And you will be impressed because we are going to launch new initiatives for all our kind of products and services. And then Marco will allow us to better understand the uniqueness of our financial advisor distribution, thanks to the support of two financial advisors, Barbara and Pietro. Tommaso will go through numbers, a lot of numbers, and I will come back on the floor for giving you some flavor on our international footprint and on projection. So now with great pleasure, it's a great honor to call on the stage Kim. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you very much, Gian Maria, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to be here today. I think it's a big day, and also it's a very, very big day for me personally. I started Saxo Bank more than 26 years ago, and as you can see from the pictures, actually in 1998, we launched the first platform. That time it was only for foreign exchange. Since then, we've expanded into all the asset classes you can pretty much think about. So clearly in that, I mean, we started in 1992, we launched the first platform in 1998, And to now, it's obviously a completely different world. But I think what is important to understand about Saxo is the fact that we were definitely fintech way before the term was even coined. And I'll go more into the business model for you guys so to better understand it. But I think it's important to understand that the client-focused technology DNA has always been part of what we have been doing. And that's also why it's so hugely interesting for us now to have this partnership with Banca Generali. Just very, very briefly about Saxo Bank, we started actually very much on focusing on traders. For the past many years, we focused more and more on investors, which has been actually the fastest growing segment for us now for some time. You can see the numbers here. I don't want to go through all of it, but I think it's fair to say that we have a lot of growth in the underlying clients onboarding Saxo Bank. We are really a facilitator, which I will go into more detail around shortly. And I think it's fair to say that we have won our stripes within the industry, both for white labeling, but also for products and for platforms and for multi-asset access and so forth. I've been running this bank now for 26 years, and actually we've been through a lot of the similar transformations that Gianmaria is talking about for Banca Generali, and I think the teams and the mindsets now are very, very, very much aligned to this journey that we are embarking upon. To understand Saxo, but also to understand why there's a very good fit between Banca Generali and Saxo, I have this business model slide here, which is really, even though we are a bank, we don't lend out any money. So we are focused 100% on trading global capital market investment products, trading products across the globe. And the way that we've set up this model is from the very beginning, we understood that we should not try to be the best liquidity or product provider for everyone in the world. Clearly, there are lots of people who do that very well. All the bigger global banks, all the various trading specialists. So I think what's quite unique is that we work with pretty much all of them. And that means we are sourcing product, services, liquidity from the best out there, obviously through API, so we have very efficient access to global markets. But that means that today we are trading really or investing in any macro cycle of the economy. So that is stocks, it's bonds, it's mutual funds, it's ETFs, but it's also all the traditional asset classes like equities, foreign exchange, commodities, and fixed income products. And that's both on a cash and derivative basis. So it really means you can invest or trade in any macro cycle of the economy, which is, of course, also what financial advisors need to service their clients so they can really get the right risk profile for the clients. What Saxo is all about is really, as I said, taking the best from the best. So in reality, we are a global technology stack with a global set of business processes. And that means that we are now in more than 25 languages supporting access to all these markets. And as you can see from the various platforms here, we have different platforms to cater for different client needs. We have Saxo Trader Pro, which was launched here, HTML5-based platform beginning of the year for more sophisticated traders or family offices or asset managers. We have what we call Saxo Trader Go, which is more for people who know what they need to do, but for self-directed investors and traders. And just actually a couple of weeks ago, we launched the investor platform, which is much more focusing on the what should I do with my money kind of clients. So when Gianmaria is saying that we want to support all the way through for different clients, all the way to the end clients, but also to financial advisors, it's really this technology, which, by the way, is built on open API. So it's a commercialized open API that allows people to take any component that is available on the platform. So it's the same open API that our own developers are using. That you can also, and we're also doing that with Banca Generali, integrating into core banking and so forth, so that the end experience for the clients is completely seamless. So this is really banking as a service where the value chain has been debundled. So you have the world's best providers of product liquidity and services here, And that's everyone from all the global banks who, the likes of BlackRock and other on capital market, capital allocation models and so forth. You have a kind of a fintech, regtech being Saxo Bank, and you have the distribution side where in Italy, the only thing we're doing with Banca Generali. So it's a complete win-win relationship that's really based on collaborating. For Saxo Bank, of course, we will never ever have the Banca Generali brand in Italy. It's not even a dream we would have. We're definitely not going to have 2,000 financial advisors either. But this way of collaborating also allows the best of the best, so we can really collaborate on what we all do best to the benefit of the clients, to the benefit of the financial advisors, to the benefit of all stakeholders that we are working with. Just a brief timeline on Saxo Bank. I founded the company back in September 1992, actually with 70,000 euros, so it's quite an unusual startup. Had some a partner during the time that's been selling out. I'm going to talk about the shareholder structure in a second. But I think it's fair to say that from the very beginning, you know, in the mid-90s, we started developing on technology. We launched the first platform for foreign exchange spot in 98. And then since then, we've just added more products, more services, basically building the whole technology infrastructure. And that's both with of course, new platforms, new products, new partnerships, and so forth. Again, one of the things we're doing is together with BlackRock, delivering capital allocation solutions, and we do that with many other partners as well. But it's just to give kind of a feel for the history of Saxo Bank, because it's not a traditional bank here. It has always been very, very, very technologically oriented, with a focus on creating the best possible client experience with the lowest possible cost and complexity in a very scalable manner. And that remains our focus. So really, we're 100% focused on continuing exactly on the business model I just showed you. The partner, or the my partners, because I'm a shareholder still. I haven't sold a single share, but my old partner and the U.S. private equity and so forth sold out not all long ago, and we now have a setup with the Chinese Geely, with the Finnish Sampo, myself, who haven't sold a single share, and some minority shareholders. So it's a pretty tightly held business. You'd know Geely both from actually turning around and buying the London Taxi Company, which was not in a good shape. They also bought Volvo from Ford and have made that a tremendous business. And Geely have been expanding on developing a more broad financial ecosystem, again, open banking approach. And they, of course, which we share, sees huge opportunity for introducing this into China. And that's, of course, also something we are discussing with Banca Generali, because, again, that's win-win, which is really everything we try to do is create win-win. So having a very strong footprint into China, we believe is going to be important because of the way the world evolves. It's already the second largest economy, even though it's only growing 6.5%, it's still growing faster than pretty much anything else. And so that's a big opportunity. Sampo in Finland is the biggest financial investor in the Nordic market, owning 21% of Nordea. They have life insurance, and they wanted also to have more fintech, regtech, which is now what we are doing there. So it's a very stable and strong shareholder base that, of course, fully endorses what we're doing here and also believes that this is the way of the future. It's partnerships. It's not trying to do everything yourself for everyone everywhere. It's really hooking up in partnerships that has aligned mindsets, cultures, and so forth to move things forward. I think it's fair to say that when we talk about Saxo Bank's technology, which of course is a precondition for even having this partnership, actually around or more than half of our 1,650 people are either in pure technology functions or business development functions. So I know it's more modern now, but I think it's fair to say that we are indeed a technology company with a banking license, and we've been since inception. but we do invest a lot of money every year in constantly trying to improve the user experience and reduce cost and complexity in a very scalable manner, as I said. One unique thing which you wouldn't find in pretty much any other financial institution that at least we know about is that we do have one single platform. So the fact that you can operate one machine that caters for all client types on all products, asset classes, in all geographies, in all currencies and so forth is pretty unique. And that is something that I think is allowing you to have a very efficient operational infrastructure with low cost and complexity, but at the same time, it's very agile. We can develop stuff very fast, which I think we've shown since the very beginning. Also, we have open banking first, API first, which means we integrate with other partners like Generali, but also other service and product providers and so forth. So we have, we're from Denmark, so we have this Lego thinking, building with Lego approach, user experience as well as the entire digital value chain. We believe is very, very important. And that also, again, supports agile development. We are cloud native. We have a global partnership with Microsoft, which is very extensive. Both in terms of moving to the cloud, which they want to do for everyone, but also on co-selling, as well as innovation and development. And we believe that is where everything is going to go very quickly, but we are on that journey and have been for some time. Of course, the whole risk approach, whether that is financial, non-financial, cybersecurity risk and so forth, is essential to any financial institution because we are all built on trust and collaboration. So if that's not working, it's a big problem. So that's a big, big priority for us. And then also AI everywhere. And that is to support everyone, both in terms of client functions, but it's also fraud detection. It's managing risk and so forth. And we're already deploying that in many, many areas of the business, and that's only going to continue. So you could ask, why Banca Generali Saxo? I hope I gave some of the answers, but I think in essence, we do share values. We do share culture. I think we all believe that win-win needs to be the way we operate, both in partners, but also for clients, for regulators, for society, for investors, and so forth, because it does matter. And I think everyone can see that these days, after the global financial crisis, everything that has happened, it does matter how money are being made and how you behave and that you do create win-win. And that's also how we've built what we call the Saxo Foundation, which is really describing the principles for how we work. And I'm very happy to say that this is completely aligned with how Banca Generali and Gian Maria sees things, which makes us very happy and proud because, in essence, that is the only way to create long-term sustainable business models going forward. So finally, I just want to say that myself, being the founder and CEO now for Saxo Bank for more than 26 years, together with the shareholders of Saxo Bank and the employees of Saxo Bank, are very, very excited about this opportunity because it's also actually a new thing for us that we do an exclusive arrangement for an entire area like Italy, which is one of the largest economies in Europe, also have a very, very sophisticated client base, trading lots of different assets and product categories, and not least also have a very digital basis for how to conduct the business. The combination of this partnership with the technology, the platforms, the products and the services, and the brand and the FAs and so forth, we believe is going to be extremely powerful, maybe not only in Italy, but definitely in Italy, where we have very, very large ambitions moving this forward. So I just want to thank you. I think my time is up now. So thank you very much for coming in tonight. For today. I'm sorry, Ricardo. Arena coming up here. Sorry. Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Riccardo Renna. I'm the Chief Operating Officer and the Head of Innovation of Banca Generali. The purpose of my today presentation is to show you that after all work that we've been doing for the last few years, we are now at the forefront of innovation in the digital world. Okay. Last year at the MIFID Day, we introduced you the digital transformation program that we were facing and we've been facing for the last few years. And we highlighted three main waves. The first one with a focus on the advisor, with the release of the BG Personal Advisory, which enhanced the quality of service of our financial advisors, giving them a great advantage, a great competitive advantage in light of the start of the MIFID II. And that was also a very important milestone for the digital strategy of the bank, which is now at the center of an ecosystem made of vertical ideas, digital applications, which are fully integrated into the commercial and banking process of the bank. Then we had a second wave, starting from 2016. Here, the aim was to streamline the relationship between the bank, the financial advisors, and the clients, trying to introduce digital applications, as well as a workflow management system named Pega, which is, by the way, mostly adopted by big companies of different industries like Amazon or American Express, just to mention a couple of them. At the same time, that was also a very important moment because we started an internal, after an internal organization, reorganizational turnaround, we started a culture transformation in the company throughout the overall organization. We changed completely the way we do projects in Banca Generali, fostering a more agile approach with a continuous search of simplicity and quality in operations. And then, of course, we had a third wave, which we started by the end of last year. Here the aim was very simple. We wanted to enhance our digital presence in terms of home banking, mobile banking, trading. We knew that we had a gap to fill in, and we have been working for the last 12 months in order to position the bank, in the eyes of the clients, to be the first choice in the digital world, and that as well in the B2C world. So, building an ecosystem, accelerate the transformation, and enhance direct connection with clients. And this last part is actually the focus of my today presentation. As we did for the financial advisor, when we channeled all our effort in order to raise the bar of the quality for the service, we have been working for the last 12 months in order to create a unique digital experience for our clients. Everyone knows how good we are at managing assets, and henceforth, I'm convinced that everyone will know how good we are at being digital. And that's simply because all of us are digital, our employees, the management team, and the growing part of the network. Moreover, we work with all partners all over the world. We try to exploit the best technologies, and we entitle our best millennials in order to be accountable for all digital initiatives of the bank. At the same time, we wanted to keep our brand, the strength of our brand, at the center of the digital world too. And I'm convinced, and the purpose is that the quality plus the brand, the formula of quality plus brand, has just one aim, which is to grow and grow the client base. We spend the next few minutes in order to go through the key projects we have been working for the last 12 months. I will skip the digital collaboration, which is the opportunity for the client to sign digital contracts with their financial advisors, which is now adopted by more than 50% of our clients, which is so consolidated in the usage of our daily work. And I will just concentrate more on digital touch points, digital onboarding process, the mobile banking, and the trading. The digital experience in terms of digital touch points, we wanted to preserve the client's perspective and to create and deliver a smooth journey for clients. We tried to analyze the best solutions in the world just to understand which were the best features which are mostly adopted by clients, and we wanted to replicate in our solutions as well. Here you see our new commercial bank, which is, by the way, online by today, and which recalls also our Italian advertising campaign that you saw before on the screen. We wanted, as I said before, to keep the strengths of our brand centrally also in the digital world. And we wanted to do a search to be perceived as a premium brand at the eyes of our clients, leveraging on our private banking position. And these two pillars underpin all our digital presence in terms of onboarding, mobile, and trading, as we were going to see in the next few minutes. Now the onboarding. In the absence of a financial advisor, the onboarding process is the first impression that the client gets. And here the aim was very simple. We wanted to amalgamate the experience of new banks like N26 or Revolut, which are, you know, mainly based on simplicity and clearness, with the soundness of financial institutions as we are. And I'm convinced that we managed to deliver a full-fledged digital experience which will let, with a few steps, our clients open an account in a bit more than 15 minutes with no intervention of the back office of the bank, being able to count on the security of a trusting onboarding platform provided by InfoCert, which is, by the way, one of the most important certification authority in Italy. And from my point of view, from our point of view, this is disruptive. This is a unique experience in the Italian market. And now I'll try to go through our new mobile app, which we will deliver in the next few weeks, mainly in the first quarter of next year. Here, sorry, just need to connect it. I will go through some of the features of the new app. As you can see, the brand is always there, like a lion here behind me. We changed completely the authentication path. Now through Face ID, we get to the platform, to the new mobile app. The user experience and the user interface has been completely renewed. We learned from the best apps from different industries. As I said before, we wanted to bring in the most appreciated features that the clients normally show when are using the apps, like everyone here in this room. It's very simple to just move from one side to another of the app. And the app is also PSD2 ready. Here we have the example of Nexi, which is our credit card issuer. We worked and leveraged on the IT capability of Nexi in order to let our clients go through movements, access to different services like enhancing or not the digital shopping online, as well as other services like switching on and off while we are abroad or we're not abroad. And at the same time, the app is also ready to aggregate third-party accounts in order to depict the overall financial situation of the client. The menu has been completely renewed, as you can see here. And we also tried to make sure that the client doesn't have to use the keyboard, which is always not very comfortable, very convenient. And in these situations, I'm showing you a bank giro transfer where you can select very easily the debit account and the credit account. Here I'm just simulating a movement of 20,000 euros from the account to go to Saxo in order to then be able to trade. And that is a very streamlined process which our clients will have at their disposal. At the same time, we are investing together with Google in order to enhance vocal assistance because we are convinced that this is the new generation of user interface in the future. So for the first release, we will have also the vocal assistant in order to proceed to use the app and to make transactions. And then Saxo. Saxo, as Kim said before as well, has been for us a tremendous opportunity in terms of experience in projects and integration. Here I'm showing you how the two platforms, because we are talking about two different platforms, but at the same time, they are fully integrated. We integrated the MiFID II, the suitability, the corporate actions, the settlement processes. So the two applications, although they are two separate ones, they are completely integrated. And in this particular case, I can place an order from Banca Generali very, very, very easily. So this is for us a very important step in the digital transformation, and I think we made a great job in order to fill the gap that everyone knew to have. And Saxo, as also Kim said, is just more than what I showed you before, because thanks to the technology of Saxo, we are able to adapt the front ends to the different trading experience of our clients and also the clients' preferences. The project is there. The integration is done. By the end of the year, we'll be starting a family and friends on cash just to see that and set up is completely done. And we'll start with the pilot at the beginning of next year. That was a tremendous opportunity for everyone involved in the organization to participate in this project. So after that, what's next? We believe that leveraging mostly on internal culture and preferences is a risky path. Kim's also mentioned that before. You can't do everything on your own, and you can't start doing everything from scratch at every time, because you risk to have a slow execution and to lose a bit the focus on the client's perspective. And also, the impact on fixed costs can be very high. On the other hand, we fostered an ecosystem, and we are not just part of the ecosystem. We are managing the ecosystem. We are at the center of the ecosystem, and we can access in this way to wider know-how, which is always updated. We can be very quick. We can focus on clients, and at the same time, depending on the business model we built with our partners, we are able to substitute fixed costs with revenue sharing, which is an important aspect for the P&L. Now, although many financial institutions are moving there, I'm convinced that there continues to be a huge difference between words and deeds. And the good news in that respect is Banca Generali, we are already there. We've been working for the last few years in order to create this ecosystem. We know how to do it. We know how to do it fast. And our legacy is also ready for that. And at the same time, we're convinced that we managed to establish a win-win solutions with every partners we are working with to create this ecosystem. At the same time, we are getting more international also in conducting projects. The Saxo one has been, as I said, the greatest experience, international experience. We work together with Italy, Denmark, India, because, you know, Saxo's got also all the manufacture part is in India. And I'm convinced that all digital tools that we created let us now better serve the financial advisors. And from now on as well, on their behalf, also the part of the client, and as well as new clients, with a lower affluent profile. Now, just to sum up, we have strong capabilities to integrate different solutions in the BG ecosystem. We showed to bring efficiency and effectiveness in our approach. We are the best in the B2B2C world, and we are closing the gap. We close the gap in the B2C world. In other words, I think we are ready for the future. Thank you for your attention. And I leave the floor to Andrea.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a pleasure to see you again in London. I am Andrea Ragaini, and today I have the pleasure to present the principal drivers for the growth of our bank in the next 3 years. But before, I leave this floor 1 year ago, speaking about MiFID, and so I know it's not the principal topic of the day, but I would like to give you a quick update on MiFID. We said 1 year ago that from a distributor perspective, at the end of the day, MiFID is an issue of transparency. And regarding transparency, the key point, the focus point for our clients is the reporting system. So let me introduce briefly our forecast about the change in the reporting system, starting from the breakdown of our assets. As you can see in the chart, we have different regulations that lead to different change in reporting system. Roughly 25% of our total assets, securities and cash accounts, are without impact on the reporting system. Without impact. Moving to insurance, 40% of our total assets, both traditional product as well as hybrid product. In this space, we forecast limited or very limited impact on the reporting system. The manufacturer, the insurance company, will go on sending to our clients an annual report with the same information, and we will add a sheet with the costs of distribution. so limited change. Moving to discretionary mandates, portfolio management, again, we forecast limited impact on the reporting system. We will go on sending to our clients a quarterly-based report with the same information than today. No change. And we will add an annual report with a new line, the costs of underlying. And we did a great job, and we will see you later, that we are doing a great job to reduce the cost of underlying. And finally, 25% of our total assets, funds and fund of funds, both in-house and third parties, in this space, we will forecast relevant, significant impact on the reporting system, because our clients is not used to receive anything from the selling point. But we did a great job to reduce the total expense ratio for our clients. And regarding total expense ratio, let me show our total expense ratio, the total expense ratio for Banca Generali and in Banca Generali. As you can see in this chart, we have two informations: the total expense ratio on our overall assets on the left and on our managed assets in the bottom left. And on the right, you can see the same information for clients with more than 2.5 million euro. The overall total expense ratio in our bank is 1.73. And if you deduct the cost of insurance, that, as you know, is very appreciated by all Italian clients, the cost will reduce roughly 1.50. And in this component, you know, we have the costs of third-party funds, and we can squeeze the asset managers. We did a great job in insurance wrapper, moving from funds to ETF. We did a lot in financial wrappers, moving from funds and funds of funds to single stocks and bonds. And we did a lot also in-house funds by introducing a cap to the costs of underlying, 30 basis points for funds and 50 basis points for funds of funds. This is the quick update I would like to give you about MiFID. Before entering in the presentation in the three main pillars for the growth of our bank, I would like to start with a look at the numbers over the last 5 years. Only two slides. The first slide regard clients, and the second slide regard asset mix. Let's start from clients. Three main informations on this slide. The first one, over the last 5 years, we increased a lot the number of clients, as Gianmaria said before. And as you can see, the growth was in all the segments: small affluent, lower affluent, affluent, and private clients. But regarding private clients, on the right side, you can see that we more than double our private clients with the same DNA, 1.6 million euro overall. First information. Second important information, 30% of our private clients are entrepreneurs. And it is really quite important for us because we are setting up a new product and service range dedicated to him. And third information, we have more than 130,000 clients with less than 100,000 euro. And it's a huge client base, and we aim to work on this client base. We will see later. Moving to asset mix, as Gianmaria said before, we more than double our total assets in the last 5 years, but also the asset mix changed in a relevant way. We remain still very focused on managed assets, as you can see, and we introduced a new product in our product range, the insurance wrapper, 14%, that now approach to 8 billion euro. Please note also this component, 30% securities, because I'll return on this later. So, we are now ready to see the three principal drivers for the growth of our bank in the next 3 years: assets, corporate advisory, and lending. Let's start from assets. We have always been very focused on managed assets, and we confirm we remain still very focused on management assets.
starting from insurance products. You see in this chart, we had a very positive trend over the last 5 years, and we are really confident we can go on growing in the future, not only thanks to the great appreciation that all Italian clients have in insurance products, very linked to protection, very useful in this period. Not only because our brand, Generali brand, is very powerful in Italy, is very linked to protection, but also thanks to new initiatives we are setting up. First, we are entering in the recurrent payment business. This is a new space for us, recurrent payment business for low affluent clients. Remember the number, more than 130,000 clients with less than 100,000 euro. So new space of business for us. Second, introducing new riders, new insurance rider, very linked to protection and health, to cover protection need, wealth need, and retirement needs for our clients. And finally, always in insurance space, we aim to be the first choice for our private clients with new products dedicated to private clients. Moving to portfolio management. Again, a great numbers over the last 5 years, and our ambition is go on growing also in the future. We introduced our new financial wrapper in 2016, and you can see the results. The initiatives for the future. The first initiative, new hedging strategy at individual level. Also, leveraging Saxo experience. This is the first initiative for all affluent and lower affluent clients. Second initiative, Nextam Partner. You know very well, we did a great M&A operation a few months ago, Nextam. Nextam Partner is an Italian private banking boutique very focused on fundamental analysis and value analysis. A great bottom-up approach on single stocks and single bonds. And this is for sure very appreciated for all, from all Italian private banking clients. And we aim to go on leveraging their experience. It is also very useful because you can reduce the cost of underlines. And finally, a new space for us, but we entered 1 year ago, alternative solutions for professional clients. We launched 1 year ago our new wrapper, BG Next, dedicated to professional clients, a new space of business, and it was very appreciated by all professional clients. So, many initiatives also in assets under management. And finally, in-house funds. I would like to give you a quick vertical, a deep dive on retail offer. As you can see in the slide, top on the left, we decrease the volume of retail offer from 2015. But it was a strategic choice because the time is arrived. We are in MiFID environment. For this reason, we launched in April a new vehicle, the Luxim vehicle, with 20 new strategies. And in October, we launched 15 new strategies dedicated to retail offer. And as you can see in the top of the slide, in October, despite market conditions, the trend is high. And we are really very confident to go on growing in the future, thanks also to new strategies we will launch in the first quarter of 2019. So, to sum up this first part, great focus on assets under management, as usual for us. But we are really convinced we have huge opportunity also in new spaces, in assets under advisory and in assets under custody. Let's start from assets under advisory. We introduced our new advanced advisory contract in February 2017, a payment contract, and up to now we have 2.3 billion euro of assets. Our approach is different, is unique, and for this reason, we are really confident to speed up our growth in the future. It's unique, our approach, you can see in the bottom of the slide, for three reasons. The first one, we move from the same approach than the private market. Advisory, on liquid assets as all Italian private banking market. But we move ahead and we introduce a unique approach, a wealth management approach, a family office approach, a holistic approach on overall portfolio of our clients. Not only financial wealth in Banca Generali, but also financial wealth outside Banca Generali, real estate wealth, corporate wealth, and wealth planning. And as you can see in this chart, we have 25% of our assets in this space, a new space. And again, one new component that for sure we are the first mover in the market, 15% of our assets in illiquid solutions. We provide advice on illiquid solutions for professional clients. We launched several initiatives over this year, and they were really very appreciated from our professional clients. Let's see. Assets under custody. This is really a new strategic focus for us. Until now, this component was for sure ancillary to our first activity, assets under management. But we are convinced we have huge opportunity to grow. Let's start from our number. We have 55,000 clients who did buy and sell operations on single stocks and bonds over this year, with 7.4 billion euro of total assets. The annualized turnover ratio on security is 1, and as you will see in a few minutes with Tommaso, it's quite lower than the market. And finally, we add front fee on primary market, both bonds and structured certificates for 6.3 million euro. Our ambition is to increase both volume and profitability. Volumes by having new clients and increasing the share of wallet for our clients. Regarding profitability, increasing a lot at the turnover ratio of our portfolio, entering in the new market, the primary market, both bond and structured bonds and certificates. And finally, for us, entering in really new market, the B2C market. Let's see how are we going to achieve all these goals, starting from the market. I would like to show a picture of Italian private banking market from Italian Private Banking Association. As you can see, the share of wallet, the red component of the AUC in the market, in the private banking market, is 22.5%. And if we focused on the specialized bank, the share of wallet increased to 32.1%. And the share of wallet in Banca Generali, for Banca Generali, is 13%. So, huge opportunity to growth. Let's see how. We worked a lot, we did really a great job on people, organization, and technology. Regarding people, we hire through the best talent in the market, the new head of financial advisory and the new head of assets under custody. We set up two new teams, the first on primary market, both for bonds and for structured bonds and certificates, and on secondary market, a new team who gather and collect information and research from the market and give advice to our financial advisory. But we did for sure a great job in technology that allow us to leverage all these components and to empower all our financial advisors. These are our three main partnerships. We focused on technology. First one, Saxo Bank, as you know. We are ready to launch the new BG platform, trading platform, as Riccardo said before, that will change dramatically the quality and the speed of the execution, and for sure the number of trades and the turnover ratio, boosting the profitability. And we did other partnership with BNP Paribas. BNP Paribas, one of the best smart derivatives platform for retail distribution. We fully integrated the platform in February, and we are ready now to arrange accelerated operation with a very rapid time to market. 3 new issues every week. As you can see, we have more than 6,000 clients who have portfolio certificates in their portfolio with, on average, 1.7 certificates each. We aim to increase both the penetration and the number of certificates in their portfolio. We set up several initiatives. Digitalization first. The new digital collaboration is up and running. We create new supports, a new dashboard with real-time information on all our certificates, as usual, a lot of training and marketing supports. Finally, the last partnership with UBS Partner, the new Robo for Advisory engine. New Robo for Advisory engine we develop with UBS Partner. The new platform will allow to move from a pull approach to a push approach. The engine is very powerful and it is fully integrated with our BG Personal Advisory platform. Every day, all the portfolio are analyzed by a risk approach and by a multi-advisory sources. So not only UBS, not only Banca Generali, but several research from the market. So a unique approach. How are the goal we aim to achieve with the Robo4Advisor engine? First of all, quality. Quality first for all our clients, but with a strong focus on affluent and lower affluent clients. And for sure, services for our financial advisory, increasing also their profitability. Second, increase the number of trades, the turnover ratio, and boosting profitability. And finally, be very coherent, very compliant with the new MiFID environment with an ongoing suitability. Three great goals from this new platform. So, we saw we're still very focused on managed assets, but we move the focus also in assets under advisory and in assets under custody. Other two pillars for our growth in the future. First of all, corporate advisory. We moved from the deep change in the relationship between entrepreneurs and clients, and we aim to play a new role in this space. And again, we worked a lot on people, organization, and technology. Regarding people, we hired among the best talent in the market the new head of corporate advisory team and a new team dedicated to venture capital operations, new club deal operation, and a new funds in the future. Venture capital operation. Regarding organization, we set up a new team into the wealth management area. Regarding technology, we introduced a new module in our BG personal advisory platform dedicated to entrepreneurs. A lot of information that our financial advisor may have on their entrepreneurs. Wide range of information, very useful for them and both for entrepreneurs. But we aim to leverage the BG Saxo capability, the very powerful currency FX platform that allow us to present a new service to our entrepreneurs, the dynamic hedging on currency. And in this space, the opportunity are really huge. Let's see some figure about the Italian market. In Italy, 44% of exports are outside European Monetary Union. Outside European Monetary Union, currency risk. The 39% of imports are from outside European Monetary Union. Again, currency risk. Less than 20% of Italian entrepreneurs cover their risks, their currency risks. And they lose a lot of money, 2.5 billion euro in 2015. So, we aim to provide to small and medium enterprise a dynamic hedging advisory on their currency position as well as the best performer platform in the market, BG Saxo. New service for all small and medium entrepreneurs, a new space that we aim to achieve. Last pillar, lending. As you know in this chart, but as you perfectly know, we remain stable over the last 5 years, 1.8 billion euro of total credit. For sure, our credit is with a very low risk. We haven't non-performing loans in our portfolio. We have an over-collateralization, 2.8 billion euro of liquid assets in our bank with guarantee on 1.8 billion euro of credit. But we aim to move our strategic focus also in lending activity in the future. And let's see how. We change a new kind of collateral from static to dynamic pledge. It's very useful, above all, for assets under custody, because it allows to move the quality of underlying. So great flexibility in moving the collateral. Second, strategic focus. From January, we will go on paying our financial advisor on credit activity. It's an innovation for us. And finally, we introduced new product in our product range, not only traditional lending offer, but also Lombard credit for private clients. We introduced this kind of lending in February last year, and up to now we have 400 million euros. But we will introduce new products, lending and Lombard credit for affluent clients, and also export credit for entrepreneurs with kind of guarantee. Strategic focus on credit without reducing the very high quality of our credit, always over-collateralized. To sum up, several initiatives, plenty of projects we have, but I would like to leave you with three principal messages. The first one, we will work in the future with all the entire client base via digital banking, saving, and lending. First message. Second message, we aim to increase our strategic focus in assets under advisory and in assets under custody, increasing profitability, turnover ratio, and boosting revenues. And finally, entering in a new business, the B2C business, a new business for all. Business as usual, on the other side, ongoing innovation in investment solution as we did for a long time. So, after, with Tommaso, you will see our aspiration in the number. But before Tommaso, we have a coffee break, so enjoy.
Okay, good morning and welcome back. I'm Marco Bernardi. I'm the Deputy General Manager responsible for Financial Advisors Network. In this session, we focus on our most important asset, our people, our financial advisors. Because technology is crucial, the business model makes the difference, but only with the right people working the right way we can reach number for the success. Before presenting two of our financial advisors, Barbara and Pietro, who will talk about their job and their experience, let me spend a few minutes to talking about our financial advisors network. And the question I want to answer is, what makes Banca Generali networks unique in the Italian market? I think our network is unique for three reasons. Our DNA, our innovative organization, and our story based on diversity and cross-fertilization. Let's start with our DNA. Three elements of our DNAs we can consider. Meritocracy, FA satisfaction and sense of belonging, and client satisfaction. What an example of what meritocracy means for us is our compensation system. We have an important part of the revenues of our financial advisors linked to the result, linked to the net inflows. And this is, and our financial advisors are very happy, are very satisfied about that, because as an independent survey shows, they are the most satisfied for the variable part in all the Italian market. And another important thing for us is the satisfaction of our financial advisors, the overall satisfaction. And for 5 years in a row, in another independent survey, the financial advisors of Banca Generali are the most satisfied by their bank. And this is very important for us because our model put the financial advisor in the center of our business. And in another specific question, our financial advisors are one more time first for sense of belonging. So they are very proud to work in Banca Generali. Last but not least, client satisfaction. With meritocracy and financial advisor satisfaction help us to deliver the best service for our clients. And for the fourth year, consecutive fourth year, another independent survey says that the clients, the Banca Generali clients, are the most satisfied in the financial advisor's Italian market, with 71% on completely satisfied client against the 58% on average. So this is the three key point of our DNA. The second element, the second answer to the question is our network organization and the new teamwork organization, teamwork model. First of all, this is our network architecture. We launched a new organization in January 2018, so this year, and this is the most important reorganization in the Italian financial and Italian financial advisors market. We have three different clusters, three different networks, with our top, the wealth managers, to join to the, to the wealth management networks. Financial advisors need more than 50 million euros of assets under management. The private bankers from 15 to 50 million euros are the largest part of our network. And then we have the financial advisors, the financial planners, with less than 15 million euros of assets under management. They have the challenge to the growth, and we have a specific program for them for the next 2 years to help them to grow. We have also a small part of employees, a relationship manager we call, but we are really focused on financial advisors who have a freelance contract because they are perfect alignment with the interest on the bank. And this is a very key point in our model for us because usually for the bank, people are a cost. For us, people are a net revenues. So this is very important to meritocracy again. And for the future, for the next year, we prepare a new model, a new way to work for the financial advisors, the teamwork. Teamwork is typical in U.S. with financial advisors in U.S. and in Switzerland with private bank, Swiss private banking. And now it's ready to deliver in Italy too. We start with a pilot with 10 teams this year, and we are ready to roll out in 2019. We have two different kind of teams, and they depends on the needs of the component of the team. We have an horizontal team, different financial advisors with same portfolio, same size of portfolio, with the same seniority, but different expertise, form a team to share all the expertise to all their clients. And this is the best way to deliver all the wealth management approach for Banca Generali. The other team is vertical team. In this team, you have one senior, the team leader, and one or more junior. And this is very important for the succession planning of the financial advisors to recruit a new generation of FAs and to manage and develop all the clients, all the basic clients of the senior and the junior financial advisors. We had experiment five teams for each kind of team, and now we are ready to launch, to roll out the activity in January. And we are already 30 teams ready to start in January. The third answer to the question, it's our story, diversity and cross-fertilization. And you can understand how is important diversity for us if you look at our story. This is our story. I know very well and I lived this story because I joined Banca Generali in 2003. So I saw a lot of this story. Our story started 2005. We have a first phase from 2005 and till 2012. And in the first phases, we focus on rebuild our financial advisors network. We let about an half of them go because they are not in line with our DNA and our needs. And we started to recruit the first professional from the market, and we recruit about 450 people during this eight year. But we changed our strategy in 2013 when we when Gianmaria joined us with a new wealth management approach, a very innovative private banking approach on the market. And we start with a very strong activity on recruit professionals on the market, with more than 700 people in less than 1 year come from different part of the market. And we can see after that. At the end of this story, we have almost the same number of financial advisors, but just one-third are the same of 2005. The other two-thirds are completely different. At the end, we have a really great turnover of our financial advisors. But where the new financial advisors come from? They mainly come from banks. This is the 700 who joined us in the last six years, and 70% of them come from bank, especially from private banks, and 30% come from financial advisors network. But the most important things for me is that there are not significant concentration on a single player. There are a very wide number of players where our financial advisor or new financial advisor come from. And this is very important for our diversity, because people join us, of course, bring with him portfolio, but we bring with him also different experience, different background, different point of view, a different personality, and they help us to build a system where all the people, all the diversity, can grow at the same rate. In this slide, you can see that. In Banca Generali, you can see that the growth is across all different ages, different gender, different portfolio size, and different geographic location. This is the growth of the portfolio, the portfolio rate. And as you can see, there are no significant difference between all the clusters. And another important thing says that in Banca Generali, we accept and we follow different style to do advisory for our financial advisors. We call it the pickers, the financial advisors who mainly use mutual funds or securities, selected singular products for their clients. With the new word, we call it the wrappers, the people who mainly use wrappers, financial wrappers or insurance wrappers. For them, it's not important the single product, but the whole solution. And then, as Gianmaria said in the opening, the holistic approach for the financial advisors. For them, it's not important the product they use. For them, for become a holistic financial advisor, they have to use systematically all the wealth management service to all their clients. And as you can see, the result of the net inflows is different. The pickers have an average net inflows of about 1.4 million euros per capita. The wrappers, 1.66, and the holistic, 1.99 million euros of asset under management. So, of the net influence, sorry. So, our challenge for our colleagues is to move all of our financial advisors from the left to the right, to increase the productivity by 40%. And this is our target for the next 3 years. This is our objective for the next 3 years. I'm very confident that we are ready to get it, and because we have the technology, as Tommaso, as Riccardo said, we have the business model, as Andrea said, but we have the people. We have the right people, as I say in the opening, and my best sum up is to present to you two of our people who represent our diversity, the diversity state. Barbara is a young woman. She started in Banca Generali like first job. We started with zero portfolio, zero client, and now is managed about 60 million euros of asset under management. Pietro is an example of the people joined us in the last years. He comes from an international experience in private banking, and he can talk about his experience and why he chose 3 years ago about Banca Generali. So, thank you for your attention, and Barbara, hand over to you.
Good morning. My name is Barbara, and I've been working in Banca Generali since 2003. When I started this job, I was very young, and my parents were a bit worried about my professional future, because I was young and I'm a woman, and they used to say that the financial world is made up of old men. So, and furthermore, I had moved to Milan, that is not my original city, So I was without family, without friends, and I had to start from scratch. I remember that I used to stay late at the office every night, calling people from the telephone directory in order to set up appointments, and that was very hard, but it was also a good exercise. And I remember that two of the clients I got in that period are now two of my biggest clients, and they started giving me 20,000 euros, and now I manage on their behalf more or less 9 million euros. So in that period, I started to put together my portfolio. I started to have a revenue, an income, so I had some money to invest. And I started what has now become my method of work. I sponsor golf competitions. I chose golf because in Italy, golf players are wealthy people. So it was a good way to target the right group of people. Now I sponsor six, seven competitions every year. On average, in a competition, play 120 people. When they finish playing, they deliver the score at a desk. There are hostesses who collect their personal data, compliant to the privacy law. And at the end of the competition, I have to leave out all the people that I already know, all the minors and children. And what I get is more or less 50 names, 50 new contacts. This means that at the end of the year, I have, on average, 300 new contacts. All these people are called on a regular basis by a collaborator who calls them and tries to set up appointments. This database is that I've built in the last 10 years now is made up of 4,300 names. In the meanwhile, there is another process going on. I have another database that is made up of people that I have already met at least once. This is completely different because I already know something about these people. I know their families, I know their jobs, I know their financial situation. So I can invite them to specific events. I can send them specific emails and also propose them specific financial instruments. And then this group of people is called on a regular basis by my personal assistant who updates all these people, ask if they have some liquidity to invest, if something is changed, and she asks them if they want to set another appointment with me. If we put together the appointments set up by my personal assistant and by my collaborator from the two databases, I normally have four or five appointments with new potential clients every week. Then you must consider that 30% of these appointments are normally cancelled. At the end of the year, I normally have 100 appointments with new potential clients. I normally get 10 new clients every year, and my net inflow is on average 7 million. So this is a good system, but there is another very, very important way to get new clients, that is client satisfaction. Because if you have clients satisfied with your job, they will introduce you to other people, to their families and friends, and so this makes your life much easier. I want to say that client satisfaction is also very, very important as far as MiFID II is concerned. Because if your clients are satisfied, they will not complain about costs, they will not complain about the price of services or products. And I think we must avoid to be judged on the basis of the price of a product. And we have to, or on the basis of a performance, above all of the performance of a short period. So I think that we must create strong relationships with our clients. We must answer the questions. We must give them advice, give them answer in any market conditions. And you have to consider that we are often by our client's side in very important moments of their lives, such as the birth of a child, the sale of a property, or the death of a parent. So this is a good way to create strong relationships. And we also have many tools, many new tools, to to strengthen relationships, because now with the new model, we have many partnerships with outstanding Italian companies. So I can sit in front of my clients and I can speak with them not only of their financial assets, but also about their real estate assets, corporate assets, art assets. I can speak with them of succession planning. And this is a very good way to build a strong relationship. And this is also very important to approach new wealthy potential clients, because I can have a family office approach. I think that another important thing that helped me very much in the last few years is the possibility to offer alternative instruments. I'm talking of securitizations, of real estate funds, also of the platform for the private placement of certificates. I'm talking of private debt. All these instruments are decorrelated by traditional financial markets. So I can reduce risk and volatility in the portfolios, and I can also deliver a yield in difficult market conditions. So, I mean, if I think of Banca Generali 15 years ago, or even 10 years ago, or even five, I realized that we have changed very much. And the growth has been very, very fast. We were moving the first steps, and now we are competing with the best and the biggest private banking in Italy. So we have a solid reputation and many tools every day to go out on the market. And 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought of approaching a millionaire. Today, I do it, and with good results. So I'm very proud of being part of this success. Thank you. I call my colleague Pietro.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning. My name is Pietro Toronelli. I'd like to thank the management team for inviting us here today to share what is our passion, because on a day-to-day basis, this is what we do. As mentioned, I'm part of the wealth management network of Banca Generali. I started working for Banca Generali in March 2016, so I'm part of the many affirmed professionals who have chosen to work with Banca Generali in the past years. Previously, I worked for Corner Banca. Over a 17-year period, I started in Switzerland, then moving to Luxembourg, and ending up in Milan. I've always been involved in managing clients, although at the time, it was also mixed with management roles and tasks. In 2009, I started a 7-year experience with Santander Private Banking, heading a team of relationship managers. In 2015, the bank announced the sale of its private banking business to UBS in Italy. So, change for change, I started analyzing what I think many of my colleagues have did in that period of time, what the market was offering in search of the best solution, present and future, that would best serve the interests of my clients and of myself. I was searching also for an environment where I could maintain, if not increase, the same level of quality that has been at the base of my relationship with my clients over the many years that we've known each other. My choice obviously fell on Banca Generali. Why? Obviously, the brand and the bank status were a first and foremost element of appeal. Then I got a chance to get to know the various working tools that the bank was offering its financial advisors. The main tool being the BG Personal Advisor, which you've heard a lot about during the previous speeches. This is a platform which, along with its focus on risk management, was something I perceived as industry-leading and driven by a search of quality. Over the years, my clients have learned to trust and to consider the fact that their interests were of utmost importance. Therefore, also, the working environment must allow enough flexibility and completeness to keep working in that direction. The business model that Banca Generali was and is offering combines solid shoulders with a dynamic and efficient support for us to work within. And it's also free of certain sales practices typically found in other outdated models that are in contrast with pursuing those interests I was talking about. The client's increasing financial education and evolving needs, in the end, demand the best. And I'm very glad of the choice that I made. So now you know why. Let me try and explain in maybe less than 10 minutes how it all happens on a day-to-day basis, trying to connect the dots with also what has been told about the business models and the technology that we're putting behind our work. Then I will try to talk about on a day-to-day basis, my favorite services and products allow me to find the solutions for the client base, and especially how it allows me to evolve that client base. I have a very diversified array of clients, so in this respect, I'm working across what Marco was talking about earlier on. Most I have known and advised for more than 10 years, some even more than 15. I roughly follow 40 family groups, and I'm pleased that in most cases, I'm already working with the second generation. In fact, in one case, I'm already working with the second and third generation. Naturally, I see this as a very positive element that is part of the plan to achieve a long-term goal of asset under management stability. And furthermore, as Barbara said, it's one of the most important drivers for growth, referrals. Be it through events where the classic client plus one invitation has proved to work, or be it simply because a client's friend is dissatisfied with their current private banking situation. An introduction on behalf of a client is always going to represent a good start in capturing new assets. My current assets under management are about 90 million. Hopefully today that's increasing. When I moved from Santander, I transferred roughly 75 million in the first 12 months and have since increased it with new clients and new assets from old ones. I believe that my pipeline for the near future could allow me to continue a double-digit growth plan. As mentioned earlier, the client base is very, very diversified with different profiles, needs, and short to long-term goals. And this is where I believe that Banca Generali's business model really comes into play. Here, I have found a variety of services and products that have allowed me to satisfy those needs, respecting a high demand for quality. Currently, I have 20% of assets in funds, 10% in discretionary management, 15% in insurance wrappers, 40% in assets under custody, and about 50% in current account balances. Obviously, this last number has been increasing the past few months due to the risk aversion. But once again, as a professional, I can appreciate Banca Generali's business model that demonstrates that asset allocation is not a factor. To the contrary, these past months have shown that Banca Generali is very reactive to market conditions and has quickly implemented and informed us of many alternative strategies and products to fit the moment. The fact that 40% of my clients' assets are under custody is due to the nature of Italian clients, who, as mentioned earlier, have a tendency to prefer to hold single equities and bonds. It is also due to the presence of some professional clients that implement their own trading strategies. Since this is true not only for myself, but also for my colleagues and their clients, the BG Saxo platform will be the cherry on the cake, offering a first-class alternative to other structures that have made this kind of trading service their main private banking feature. I have personally been using the platform in the past months, and I can't wait to offer it to my clients, because what Andrea was saying about turnover and everything, that is going to be true. I also spoke earlier about the importance of getting to know and working with the next generation. One of the issues on the table, obviously, is for the first generation to transfer their wealth to the next one in the best way. In this context, I have used the strengths and flexibility of the tailor-made hybrid insurance policies, or wrappers as we call them, they're called BG Stile Libero, to address such issues. Also, the BG Personal Advisory has a family protection and planning module within it. Unfortunately, we don't have time to show you, but believe me, this module is a place where we can simulate, for example, the current inheritance tax and the effect of certain investment strategies on this inheritance tax. And that has helped me to improve many situations, obviously gaining the client's appreciation. We keep on talking about BG Personal Advisory, and it's obviously our main go-to tool. It allows us to have an immediate analysis of the current investments with a strong focus on risk assessment. This can then be elaborated in customized reports for the clients. It also represents the hub that connects us with other platforms at our disposal, where we can, for example, create backtesting on alternative investment mixes through the BG Personal Portfolio, or we will receive suggestions and proposals from the new Robo for Advisory platform that will be soon available for the whole network. Finally, BG Personal Advisory, it's where we can simulate an investment strategy and effectively understand the impacts of asset allocation, volatility, and diversification. The actual decisions can then be implemented through our digital collaboration platform, reducing time of execution and allowing us to manage off-site clients in an efficient way. But not all risks come from the financial markets. It's an understatement that our clients are sensitive to the current macroeconomic situation. Once again, I'm certain that Banca Generali is moving in the right direction, demonstrating how to quickly address external factors with foresight, helping to maintain a leading position as a bank, but also in our work. The internationalization announced will allow us to offer our clients an efficient solution and to help us manage any concerns the clients may have. At the same time, satisfying their needs, maintaining our relationship intact, and keeping those assets under our advisory, where through a full integration with our platform, we can continue to deliver the quality of our analysis, planning, and investment services. All this convinces me that my clients and I are working in a very safe, reactive, and dynamic context, with a bank that has a 360-degree high-quality offer of financial and non-financial solutions. This will soon prove to be important when MiFID II will be fully running. Quite honestly, the fee structure I can provide my clients in Banca Generali was not an issue when they were transferred from Santander, and it hasn't been one in the following years. The fees are known and evidently well accepted by my clients. In this, the quality, flexibility, and independence of choice of the services and products will always be a value factor. And that's what will make the difference, value perception. To this effect, in reality, the increased transparency on costs will be the same for the other players in a private banking business in Italy. So I think it will actually give me a chance to increase that double-digit growth I'm looking for. There is a challenge ahead, but at least I know I'm in the best spot to face it. Thank you for your attention. And now, over to our number cruncher, the CFO, Tommaso Di Russo.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Tommaso Di Russo. I'm the CFO and Head of Strategy of Banca Generali. Let me start saying that I'm very impressed by the stories that our financial advisors have told us. As you probably know, in many years of experience in the asset gathering business, I had many opportunities to meet financial advisors, especially in this budget period. They asked me about objectives. But I have to say that the thing that struck me most when I joined Banca Generali a couple of years ago was the quality of the network, which is, in my opinion, is our best value. But now I have, it's my turn, and what I would like to do today is to assess the economic impact of the new strategic initiative that my colleagues have explained before. So what I want to do is to go through our P&L and explain the dynamics and also to give guidance on what we expect from the next 3 years. So let me start from the first financial target that Gianmaria announced earlier on, core net banking income. This figure has been calculated without taking into account performance fees, trading gains, and for the past years, also LTRO contribution. And as you can see, the margin went down from almost 90 basis points to 60 basis points of current year. So the guidance that we give in this case is a floor. We expect that for the incoming years, our net margin will be stable at 63 basis points, which is the same level that we are having in 2018. Starting from the agenda, we will go through the main item of our P&L, so starting from gross fees, divided by management fees, performance fees, and other revenues. Then we'll go to payouts, net financial margin, operating costs, and then the key messages to recap all the guidance that we are going to give today. So, management fees, the bulk of our profitability. The starting point is that we have doubled management fees in the last 5 years. And as you can see, the margin, it is quite stable through the cycle. The small fluctuation that you can see are mainly linked to the change in asset mix of our clients. Today, our margin is 146 basis points, which is 1 basis point down if we compare with last year. But what is more important, if we look at the breakdown of management fees by product mix, we can see that today we are in a very different situation, a much more diversified assets are combined with a much more diversified management fees, which makes our top line much more sustainable. Because funds and fund of funds went down from 58% to 43%, wrapper solution grew from 70% to 38%, while as a result, insurance, traditional life insurance product went down of 6 percentage points. And the point is that, so looking at the past, we didn't experience any pressure. And the growth of asset could make our top line much more sustainable. But now the question is, what will be the impact of MiFID II going forward on our management fee margin? Well, we have seen very well with Andrea before. We expect that the main pressure will be in the pure asset management industry, so basically fund and fund of funds, while we don't expect a very important pressure and high pressure on wrappers, because already clients receive a clear statement of on cost that we are going to charge to them. While finally, we don't see any pressure on traditional life products, because today the demand is maintaining the pricing. So if we mix all this trend and we look on what could be the guidance for the next 3 years, we expect really a modest pressure that we can see on the right of our slide, which is in the range between 4 and 8 basis points. Of course, this small pressure is much more than balanced from the growth of the asset, which is going to boost our management fees. Moving now to performance fees. Performance fees are very volatile, as you can see from this figure. They are linked to the market condition, and in 2018, we had a poor contribution to our P&L. But as you know, we have been preparing for the change of MiFID II also in the performance fees. because we have introduced recently a new mechanism to calculate performance fees, which is based on a 12-month rolling time horizon and a high watermark formula. So we have done several tests to ensure that in the long run they are going to ensure the same level of performance fees, but at the same time that we are going to charge effectively performance fees to client only if they have an actual performance. So to reduce volatility, we think that the best value is to diversify the assets of the portfolio of our clients. And as you know, we have launched this year the new Luxeem SICAV, and we expect that all the migration in the new offer will be almost completed by the end of 2021, where the 78% of the asset of our Luxembourg platform will be in the new offer, and just the 30 or 20% will remain in the old one. But what is more important, I think, is on the right of the slide, because as you can see, we have today a much more diversified portfolio. So going forward, we think that it will be completely different. As you can see, 5 years ago, flexible funds and equity funds amounted for the 90% of total assets in our Luxembourg platform. Today, they represent just the 50%. And also the correlation which is of funds, which is being estimated for the new offer by doing a back testing, declined from 60% to 30%. So the message of the slide that is going forward, we will have a much more diversified portfolio, and that also will give an impact, a positive impact, also to reduce the volatility of performance fees in our P&L. Coming to other revenues, they are mainly traditional banking fees and entry fees, and then, of course, discounted reduction in the last years. But as you can see from the slide, starting from 2016, the trend started recovering and increasing again. And that was thanks to the new initiative that we've seen before with Andrea, and now we are going to see with you what will be the impact that we expect going forward. The first two initiatives are linked to the asset under custody, and I want to start with, of course, the new operation with Saxo. We are going to launch BG Saxo in the next weeks. And starting from the left, we can see that our turnover today is around one time on asset under custody. And we have done very conservative projection to foresee what could be the impact of the new platform in the future. If you look at the benchmark, the average turnover is around 1.4 times. The best player is 5.8 times. And if we simply assume that we can at least match the same level of the benchmark, our brokerage fees can grow up to 26 million by the end of 2021. The second initiatives are always in the area of asset under custody, but are more linked to certificates and private placement. As you know, recently, volatility has increased, and of course, there is much more opportunity to propose to our client structured products. Also, in this case, we have done very conservative projection. As you can see, we started proposing certificates to our client this year, and the new issues went from 42 million up to 160 million in the first 9 months of the current year. And we project to reach at least 300 million by the end of 2021. The positive impact in terms of fees of this evolution, it will be to reach at least 10 million by the end of 2021. And also in this case, we think that it is a really conservative approach because we are assuming that we are at the same level in terms of percentage of certificates on asset under custody at 2.5%, like the benchmark. The best player in this case has a percentage of more than 10%. The third initiative that I would like to deep dive with you is regarding the advanced advisory contract that we've seen also in this case with Andrea before. We launched last year. We already have 2.3 billion of assets, which are accounts for 3.9% of total assets. And today, we announced last year at the MiFID Day a target of reaching at least 5 billion by the end of 2021. Today, we are increasing the ambition on that target, and we want to achieve at least 5.5 and 6 billion by the end of 2021, which means to be in the range of 7-8% of our projected total assets. Also, in this case, we think that they are very conservative projections if you compare with the benchmark. On average, in the Italian private market, the benchmark is around 12%, while the first player is around 18%. Also, in this case, if we simply assume to reach the target that we have in mind, our advisory fees will reach 20-25 million, with a margin of 40-45 basis points, while the present margin is 46 basis points. What I would like to say is that these three initiatives are additional to the growth of assets that which will be and will remain the bulk of our increase in of our profitability in the next years. Coming now to payout to the network, I would like to show how the evolution that we expect of our gross fee will reverse in the payout to the network. And we have two main categories. The first one is the ordinary payout, which is represented in the slide with the red bars. They are stable around 36% through the cycle, and we expect to be below 37% by the end of 2021. The slight increase versus past is driven mainly from the growth in the lending activity from one side, but also to the penetration of products which have a higher than average payout. I'm thinking about advisory fees or certificates, which are front fees, which have a higher payout. Talking to extraordinary payout, also in this case, we expect to benefit from the ongoing effort that we have put in place, reducing the cost of growth. So our expectation and our guidance for 2021 is to stay below 15%. And the result is that the overall payout to the network will be below 52%. Coming back to the extraordinary payout, I would like to show in the next slide an important trend that we have had in the last few years. As you can see, the cost of growth, this is a cash view, so it's independent from any accounting method, is going down from 221 basis points to the range of 160-170 basis points. And as you can see, starting from 2016, we are starting reducing significantly our costs. But also if we compare the present figure with the 2016, we see that with the same mix, because it's around 40-50% in terms of managed assets on total net inflows, we already had a benefit in terms of reducing costs around 10%. And going forward, we think it will be in the same range. Coming now to the net financial margin, the other important source of revenues of our P&L. Of course, we are a different bank, but we are a bank at the same time. So we suffer, as all the banking system, of the reduction of interest rates. And as you can see, the yield of our net financial income went down from 2.2% to 1% basically. But we try to compensate, to balance this trend by the growth of the asset that, as you can see, grew from 6.6 billion in 2014 up to 9.2 billion. But what is more important is that going forward, we have a structure of our balance sheet which is prepared to have a positive impact from growth in interest rate, and on both sides, both liabilities and assets. Because if we break up The net financial margin between markdown and markup, starting with the liability, so with the markdown, you know that we have recently changed the current account remuneration, which changed from variable rate linked to Euribor to a fixed cost with a cap at zero. And also from the asset side, we have an important part of our assets which are invested in variable rate. And also the banking book is very flexible, and we can reinvest the asset at increasing rate, because we expect that interest rate will be normalized in the medium term. So starting from this new point, because it's really new point, we think that the net interest margin reached the bottom this year. And going forward, we are going to have a benefit. And looking at the two main components that we have in the net financial margin, the first point that I would like to underline is that we are going to increase our activity in our lending activity, always in loans, Lombard loans, which are, of course, over collateralized by the assets of the client. So we don't expect any, we don't have any pressure in terms of NPL. Our expectation in terms of volume is to grow at least around 700 million up to 1.2 million, so in the range of one billion, with a spread which is stable around 120 basis points. On the other side, the other source of revenue is the banking book. The banking book size is, of course, linked also is a function of the growth in deposits. So that's why we didn't give a precise number. But of course, following also the guidance on the commercial objective, we expect that they will be still growing. But what is more important is that the structure of our banking book is very, very flexible and is ready to capture a positive gearing from interest rate growth. So that's why we project that from the present yield of 70 basis points, we can have a yield higher of 100 basis points. And in the next slide, we see much better why we think that our portfolio is so flexible, is so ready to increase its profitability. First of all, because maturity is very low. The same is for duration, it's just 2 years. But what is more important for me is that we have 2.4 billion of Italian government bonds which are maturing in the next 3 years. So also to diversify the asset is a great opportunity, because depending on interest rate environment, we do expect that will be a normalized environment for interest rate. The banking pool could be easily diversified up to 30-40%, simply reinvesting the assets that are maturing in the next 3 years. And of course, we could reinvest also in other government bonds, European government bonds, or corporate and financial bonds. Well, so we have seen all the revenue side. Now we move to the cost side. We are very proud of this number. On the right of the slide, you see what we call the operating leverage. It has gone down for 5 years, from 51 basis points to 33 basis points. And also in terms of cost income, we are well below the 50%, in the range of 40-45%. And if we look at the left of the slide, we see that the compound annual growth rate has been around 6, and the expectation for the current year is to close with 195 million or 197 million in this range. I have to say that the increase of this year has been linked especially to the provision to the bank resolution funds, which had extraordinary costs, as well as other extraordinary costs that we had this year, like the moving in the tower from one side, but also many important projects like Saxo that are already up and running and will give a benefit in terms of revenue in the next years. But to give a guidance on costs also for 2021, we provide the build-up of how will be the evolution of our costs. So starting from our forecast for this year, 195 million, 197 million, we have to add the change in the perimeter, which is mainly linked to the asset to the M&A activity that we did this year. Nextam from one side, and the new activity in Switzerland that Gianmaria is going to deep dive in his concluding speech. So after the change in perimeter and adding also the expenses of the sales personnel, which for us is not a cost because it's linked to the opportunity to have incremental growth on the revenue side, we reach a forecast of 214 million, 216 million for the end of the current year. And on core operating costs, which are the red bars, which, as you can see, exclude the personal expenses, sales personal expenses from one side, and the change in perimeter, we give a guidance of a compound annual growth rate between 3 and 5%. Coming to sales personal expenses, we have a forecast, which is for us is an opportunity to have additional revenues between 16 and 18 million, while the last part is mainly linked to the acquisition of Nextam from one side, where we are going to have some synergies too, but especially the increase is linked to the process and to the development of our foreign business. And Gianmaria is going to give the details in our in his next presentation. So, always on cost, the last thing that we would like to underline is how we can combine, from one side, a low growth of cost between 3 and 5% of our core operating costs with investing in technology and innovation. As you can see, is really linked to the new approach that we have seen with Riccardo. Today, we act as a system integrator. We are changing, are substituting fixed costs with revenues sharing agreements. And the example is with Saxo, UBS, and also for our mobile banking. As you can see, in the 3 years that comes from 2017 up to 2019, we project to spend, to invest almost 11 million of euro. And this figure is compared with the 100 million that every year, for example, Saks invests to maintain up and running its platform. But what is more important for me is that our recurring increase of cost is lower than 1 million. This is the result of our new approach, because we understand that we cannot be the best in class in everything, and we prefer to have partnership and to share with them the risk with revenue sharing agreements without having a fixed base of costs. So coming to the end of my presentation, I would like to wrap up all the guidance that I've given. Starting with management fees, we expect a modest pressure, with a pressure which is within 4 and 8 basis points. New revenue streams, the three initiatives, they will account for almost 50, 60 million of revenues at the end of 2021. The payout will be below 52%, where recurring payout will be below 37%, extraordinary payout below 15%. Net financial margin is going to give a very important boost to our P&L by lending volume increasing around 1 billion with a stable spread, and on the other side, the banking book yield, which will grow from 70 basis points up to 100 basis points. All these four guidance are consistent with the higher guidance that we are given on group core net banking income, where we set the floor of at least 63 basis points, the same profitability that we have today. On the operating cost side, we have a strict discipline in cost, and our forecast is to have a compound annual growth rate between 3 and 5%. So I think that that brings me to the end of my presentation. I hope to be in time, and I hand over to Gian Maria for his final contribution.
Thank you, Tommaso, and thanks to all the speakers. As you have seen, the business plan is the sum of several initiatives. On one hand, we consolidate our strengths. So new investment solutions focus on alternatives and protection. We are the first player to have exceeded 1 billion euro of investments, retail investments of professional clients in alternative solutions. And expansion of wealth management services, higher quality and increasing numbers of services. So this is what we know how to manage. And we want to leverage our capabilities, the protection side of the business. But then we said that we want to work on our area for improvement. First, digital presence. We have a great opportunity. We can explore new businesses. We can provide better services, better quality to all our customer base. And Saxo is something more than a digital and trading platform because it implies protection, hedging strategies for entrepreneurs as well as clients. Think of, for example, portfolio management with hedging strategy, dynamic hedging strategies. And if you think of our investment solution, we launched LuxIM. The most successful strategies in these few weeks are one momentum strategy and one long short strategy. So we are very focused in providing investment solution coherent with the current situation of the market's volatility. And remember, we launched certificates when we start seeing rising volatility, because we were ready 2 years ago, and we said, let's wait for volatility. So we are very focused in providing good services, value, and performance to our clients. But when we say digital mindset, digital presence, ecosystem approach, leveraging our international partnership, as well as launching new sorts of businesses. Think of B2C. On one end, B2C, and on the other one, internationalization. And we just announced an acquisition. Why we decide today to internationalize the bank? We start thinking of internationalization 18 months ago. And we think to have the right size of the bank, the right top management team, and the right organization to scale up the business. Clients are increasing the request for a multi-booking center approach. Most of them wants to keep the relationship in Italy. Most of them wants to keep investment services in Italy, but want to diversify how to store their money. And finally, we have Generali, a strong alignment with Generali presentation, focus on growth. And why Switzerland? Of course, it's a key financial center, 7.3 trillion Swiss franc. There is geographical, cultural and familiarity, cultural proximity and familiarity with them. Think of the south of Switzerland. And then they are in the white list. And then they participate to the exchange of information. So this is the safest place to hold money. And we have in mind two initiatives on Switzerland. We start discussing with regulators on how providing more flexibility to our clients. We want to maintain the relationship, the investment solution, the revenues in Italy for our clients. But if they ask for diversification also in how you provide custody services, now, in a very, very easy way, we can connect our clients with some Swiss bank. Again, maintaining the relationship here, the investment solution here, and so the revenues.
So this business is almost the same of the business that you are used to run in Italy. There is probably a greater opportunity in the second initiative. We have clients, Italian clients, served in Switzerland. You have projection between 100 billion and 200 billion. And we are sure that we can provide our best-in-class services also to Swiss-born clients as well as international clients. It's a very concrete approach. We want to continue to do our business, private banking business, expanding internationally our footprint, our business. And to do the second initiative, we approved, the board of directors approved the acquisition of Valeur. Why Valeur? For me, it's the best place to invest in Switzerland. Valeur was founded in 2009. High qualified managers and professionals decided to found Valeur to provide a better service for their clients. There is a perfect alignment of value with them. And they can provide portfolio management solutions, and they have the internal distribution channel, the relationship manager. They manage 1.3 billion Swiss franc, and they have an adjusted net income of 1 million euro. We will acquire 90.1% of the company, and we have the possibility to acquire the remaining 9.9%. The total cost of the acquisition for 90.1% of the company will be 10.8 million Swiss francs. It means something less 1% of the total assets. So, you know, we always say we look at the market, M&A activities, if there is the right business at the right price. And there is some clawback price adjustment clauses up to 40% of the total cost linked to the assets and the revenues. And, of course, it's subject to regulatory approval. So, for us, Switzerland represents a long-term growth engine. We set a business plan in 5 years with a goal to manage at least 5 billion euro, the range between 5 billion euro and 7 billion euro. If you look at our three-year business plan, we have a target of 3.1, 4.4. The assets will be 65-70% managed assets, and the remaining part will be invested in securities, stock and bonds. And as you can see, the inflows comes from both initiatives. The first one, providing services from Italy, and the second one, servicing client for the relationship, the investment solution from Switzerland. So, now, let's come back to the ordinary business, Italy. And let's see the inflows, projection for inflows. You see at the top of the page the organic net inflows for the last 5 years. And we project for the future a range of 2.2, 2.4 billion coming from existing sales force. It means financial advisors with more than 2 years of relationship with the bank. So slightly below the previous years is a very prudent projection. And if you look at the bottom of the page, you see the contribution from the new financial advisors netted of the financial advisors who will leave the company. And remember that we have the highest sense of belonging and the highest fidelization of our clients and our financial advisors. So, in these 3 years, the average contribution of net inflows coming from new recruitments will be in the range 1.5 and 1.9. If we sum the two components, the range will be 3.7, 4.3. And thanks to Saxo, we are confident, extremely confident, to add at least 500 million euro each year on asset under custody. So, on a three-year plan, the range will be between 12.6 and 14.4. Moving to the AUM, you can see the build-up. starting from total assets, 58.59, adding inflows of current perimeter plus Nextam, the Swiss initiative, new inflows and Valeur, a tiny contribution from markets, again, very conservative projection. We aim at managing 80 billion euro at the end of the 3 years plan. So let's wrap up and coming to the conclusion. This is a business plan based on growth. Very concrete action. We aim at managing 80 billion euro at the end of the 3 years. And we set very concrete targets. Profitability is a floor. We are setting a floor, and I'm confident to overachieve, because we have several initiatives on both sides, recurring fees as well as net interest income. Cost, we saw some projection on core operating costs, 3-5%, as well as some projection on business expansion. And I want to be very clear on this aspect. We recruit people as a relationship manager, as employees, only if there is a greater convenience to hire them as a recruit, as a relationship manager, than as a financial advisors. So the number of the total sales cost could be flat, because it depends on the opportunity of the market. And the cost linked to external growth to the Swiss bank depends on the business expansion. And again, we have good profitability in Switzerland as well. And all these businesses are all up and running. Dividend. I love to pay dividends. I love to give money to the shareholders who trust in the company. So we confirm the payout, a very high payout ratio, 70-80%. But I want also to set a floor, because you can have some temporary lower contribution from the more volatile components of our P&L. This year is an example. Let's set a floor, because every year I want to pay an higher dividend in absolute terms by maintaining a solid capital positioning. You know, the starting point is 19.6% total capital ratio. The acquisition will absorb 1.5% of total capital ratio. So let's say 18. And then the new initiatives to optimize our balance sheet, so the capital absorption linked to lending and linked to the higher diversification of banking book will be almost offset by retained profits. So let's think of the next 3 years. We start from a very solid position. We know how to achieve these targets. And you have several initiatives. The focus is on the markets, great flexibility to adjust our projects to market condition. Alternative is an example. The new Luxim is another example. Great flexibility coming from Saxo, hedging strategies. The core business is to protect our clients. And we have a great track record managing complexity, because this is a multi-project management. And we have a starting point that is the best ever, because we have the best-in-class financial advisors. Marco showed us a long journey. They start work in 2006 on the quality of financial advisor networks. Diversity is something more than having recruited people from the top players in the market. And it said that we have the strongest sense of belonging. Consider that from a people perspective, people management perspective, we want to nurture the culture of talents, diversity, inclusion, sustainability. Sustainability is not something linked to products. It's something linked to our vision, our values, the governance, the communication style, as well as product and the approach to clients. And all the management team is really confident to achieve these results. And there is full alignment of our incentive scheme to these numbers.
So now, having finished the session presentation, we are ready to take any questions. Thank you. Please, Giuliana. Just a few minutes to set the stage with the chairs, and all the management team can join me.
So while they are preparing the seats, I will just remind you that we are starting now the Q&A session, and we would appreciate if you could please raise your hand and just say your name, the company you're working for, just for the benefits of all the colleagues here and all those connected via webcast. There will be a lady coming to you with a microphone. So I could say who's raised the hand first. Okay, Gianluca, please, over there.
Yes, hi, Gianluca Ferrari, Mediobanca. Three questions. The first one is on the relationship with Generali. You flagged the importance of being part of the group. It seems to me that there is a tremendous opportunity eventually in cross-selling the customer base of Generali, offering your private banking services. Any plan to do something along these lines? And eventually, what kind of model would you adopt to do that? The second question is if you can tell us how many clients have Banca Generali as the main or only bank, and if you have any aspiration in becoming the only and the main bank of your clients. And the third question is related to recruitment. I think you didn't give us the projection in terms of heads you expect to recruit during the planned period. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's start from Generali. I'm very proud and happy of the relationship with Generali. You know, we are the first distributor of insurance policies, and I think that in this macro environment, in this context, the brand Generali is so powerful. But at the same time, also our brand, I think, is starting being very powerful in the private banking industry. So we could leverage both the capabilities of Generali as well as the capabilities of Banca Generali starting to cross-selling some products. For example, we mentioned the focus on health insurance riders. And of course, in the next years, we start thinking of how to provide the digital bank to Generali clients as well. Why not? The Saxo platform. It depends on the opportunity. But let's say that now, in the short term, we are very focused on our clients. But it would be unbelievable not to try to expand our business with them. I mean, if we find a way to share profits, it would be win-win for both. So it's something that we are thinking of, and we will see in the next years. Clients. I mean, I'm very confident to manage most part of the investment solution of our clients. In terms of insurance and managed solution, I think that we are the reference point. But it's not there, it's not so for the asset under custody. I think that 90% of our clients share their total assets with other banks. And the reason why is, first, for their, let's say, for their company, so let's say for commercial reason, for business, or for managing securities. And on both sides, on both points, we want to close the gap. Technology, digital banking, trading on one hand, and new corporate services on the other one. So I'm confident we can increase the share of wallet of our existing clients as well as gaining new market share. And recruitment? Recruitment, I think that here the targets are pretty clear. We say that we can recruit 10 financial advisors per month, more or less, Considering some seasonality, I think that the range could be 100, 120. We are very close this year to 100. And I don't see any reason to reduce or to accelerate these numbers, because these numbers will allow us to maintain a well-balanced growth. 50% existing sales force, 50% net recruitment activity plus Saxo, that is about existing business. So at the end of the day, the contribution of an existing sales force would be much higher. Do you want to add anything more?
No, on the assets under custody, for sure, in the Italian private banking space, we have roughly 2.1 banks for each client in the private banking market. But for sure, we have huge opportunity to increase the share of wallet. As you've seen before, we have 13% of the share of wallet in assets under custody. And for sure, a lot of our clients use other platforms to move their securities in other banks. So we are really very confident to increase our penetration in assets under custody.
Yes, good afternoon, Elena Perini from Banca IMI. I have three questions. The first one on the assets under custody. Given your focus on these, is your asset mix going to change going forward? Because at the end of September, you had approximately 50% in purely managed solutions and less than 25% in banking products. So this is the first one. The second one is on your guidance on the CET1 ratio. Have I understood correctly that you are confident to stay around an 18% level with the payout guidance that you provided? And the third one is on dividend. Is the dividend floor 1.25 set for 2018 too, given that we are facing quite difficult market conditions in this fourth quarter? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So first answer, if you see different mix, will be thanks to higher inflows in AUC. So confirming these targets, the mix won't change a lot. Okay? I hope to see 70% of managed product, because in that case, I will exceed all the expectations and all the targets. Total capital ratio, you're right. Let's say that if you consider 70-80% of payout ratio, you could be between 17-18 in terms of total capital ratio. Of course, depends on 70 or 80, something change. Dividend policy, 2018, yes, 1.25 is a floor for these years as well.
Alberto Villa, Intermonte. Some questions from me too. The first one is on Switzerland. You plan to treble the assets in the period. How confident you are about this, and is that coming also from M&A? You see other opportunities like Valeur that could that maybe you consider, or you have a pipeline on that respect. And if the internationalization you started with Switzerland, you plan to do it in any other jurisdiction, or is just because you find it a good fit to the Italian operations. The second question is on the recruitment cost. You said it's going down a little bit. Can you just give us more color on that, and why is that going down? Is that something that is the entire industry, or the fact that you can, thanks to your point of strength, get better conditions? And then I was curious about the pricing of the services of Saxo in terms of trading cost, et cetera, if that compares to, say, other players, Fineco or some other players on the market, or if these are different, and you plan a significant growth of Saxo driven growth. Are you planning as well some kind of specific commercial advertising or anything that can make more, let's say, popular this offering for customers? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So starting from Switzerland, how confident am I? 100% confident. 100%, probably even more. Because you have plenty of relationship managers looking for a very solid brand. In the south of Switzerland, in particular, there is tremendous impact of new regulation. And now several small companies, you know, you can provide services thanks to these small companies, are looking for a partnership. About M&A, I would say I'm not sure, because, you know, we are very focused on, of course, the quality of the business as well as the cost, but in Switzerland you have to pay attention to reputational risk. And so I'm very focused, we are all very focused on reputational risk. So, of course, if you find the opportunity, we'll take it, we'll get it. But at the moment, we are very happy with Valeur, because in that case, we can gather new recruitment, new relationship managers. And the cost of recruiting in Switzerland is much lower than in Italy, because it's the traditional approach. And we have some ideas to innovate also on that side. And recruitment cost, just let me introduce now let's start from Saxo, and then I will hand over to Tommaso for recruitment. Saxo, you know, when you enter a new market, something that I studied at school, you say just set 1 cent lower than the best in class. So we will compete with the best in class, with prices. And we tested this framework, this digital framework, so digital bank plus trading platform with some clients. And you know the wow effect is impressive, because you have the solidity of Banca Generali, the brand of Banca Generali, and the most innovative platform, at least in Europe. So I don't think we need to invest a lot of money in advertising. But in case, we will do it, because we are both committed to be best in class. And about recruitment, my perception is that you have two different behaviors in the markets. On one hand, you have some competitors that are languishing, and they are spending even more to, let's say, to compensate some outflows. Others, in my opinion, more sustainable, and we are part of this second group, are lowering the cost, and it's good for us. Because if the system lowers the cost, overall the cost will be lower for everyone. And we have a strong premium brand, premium positioning now, so it's also easier to recruit at a lower cost. But just for more flavor, Tommaso, please.
Yes, I confirm that effectively we are reducing the cost of recruiting. Last year we had a cost of 235 basis points. This year we're experiencing a reduction around 15, 20 basis points, so we are in the range between 210, 220. The main reason is that, first of all, our package is completely different from the other competitors. It's much shorter. It's just 12 months. This means that when we recruit a new financial advisor, he's continue also on giving us net inflows in the following period. So we reduce also the cost also for this point of view. And we think that the main way to reduce this cost has been also for the much more awareness of the brand of Banca Generali in the last 2 or 3 years. So today to recruit for us is a completely easier. It's much more easier than in the past, because today the awareness of our brand, both with financial advisors and in the client, is much more higher.
Thank you, Tom.
Anna Damo from Autonomous Research. I have two questions for me. The first one is on liquidity coverage ratio. You have a very high level of 400 basis points, 400%. Do you expect to redeploy this liquidity going forward to boost the contribution from NII? That's my first question. The second one is more of a big picture question on flows. We see government bonds now yielding, having more attractive yields, and the government potentially introducing tax benefits. Do you see the rebalancing from households' wealth into managed assets to slow down going into 2019? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Start from the second question, and then I will hand over to Maso for the first one. If you look at the statistics, it's impressive the reduction of investment in the government bonds, more in general in bonds, financial and government bonds. And I think that if clients decide to invest in government, is through the advisory of the financial advisors. I don't think to see an increase in pickers in the market. Because if you look at the volatility of BTPs this year, has been impressive. And you see the total value of your assets on a daily basis. So I see some opportunities. I'm sure that the Italian spread, in relative terms, at least, is a buy opportunity. If you compare with Portugal or Spain, this is my personal view. And we are seeing some of our top clients are buying under the advisory contract some BTPs. But I cannot see any reason to see an acceleration in a change in habits and change in trends in the retail market. I cannot see any reason. And you are talking about tiny investments because you should have a cap of 2,000-3,000 euros. So it's not our kind of clients. Tom?
Coming to our liquidity position, I have to say that we are very solid. As you know, we have very high liquidity coverage ratio, which is 4 times the threshold, which is compulsory from the regulatory framework. And we don't think it's going to change in the next year. We still remain a very liquid bank. Today, we have around 1 billion of assets that are in liquidity, are just cash. And so also to manage our portfolio looking forward, we continue to be very conservative in the approach, so we continue on having small, short duration and short maturities. And also the investment that we make are today are mainly government bonds. Also in the future, it will be any case bonds that could be also brought to ECB if there is any liquidity in the crisis in the market. So we are really very strong in our liquidity position.
Good afternoon, Giuseppe Mappelli from Equita. I have only one question. It is related on to your guidance of 3-5%. Hello. Yes. To 3-5% growth in the cost base. On the main driver of this growth. Thank you.
Yes. So basically is driven by volume expansion. So basically, then Tommaso will give you some more flavor on that. I left behind an answer on internationalization. Sorry. First step would be Switzerland, because we want a very concrete approach, and Saxo is considering the opportunity to distribute their banking services from Switzerland to Italy, so probably we'll try to integrate Saxo in Switzerland, and if it works, why not? Where Saxo offers its product, we can be the private bank to support the Italian clients around the world. But again, the approach will be almost zero cost, because we want basically to manage clients from Italy. So it's something about how you store your money. And thanks to technology, you can follow the clients around the world.
Well, coming to the cost side, which is that, as we saw in the slide, our operating leverage is really working very well, because our cost on total assets went down from 51, 52 basis points to 33. And I think that this will continue because today we have just the 10, 20% of our costs which are variable. So we can use our platform, you can use our operation also serving a much higher asset under management. So that's why we can have basically a low growth in terms of cost while we can manage a much higher asset under management. We think that the other point is that all the investment that we are doing in technology, from one side, it will give also the possibility to free some people which are inside the organization doing low value-added activity and move to other activities which are much higher value-added. And also for financial advisor, the idea which is behind our digitalization process is to help them to relieve time to concentrate on talking with clients and having a relationship with a really value-added, while they don't have to lose time doing administrative things, and that's what our base. Idea. That's why we have this forecast on costs.
Yes, and moreover, we will continue to hire talented people from the market because we think that we continue to invest. We have to continue to invest on the new risk and new opportunities from security risk. Think of data management. We just hired one of the top team in a venture capital business, and so we selectively hire new people from the market, not at the very senior level, but we want to keep ongoing innovation in the bank. So some specific recruitment, hiring in the markets as well.
Alberto Villa, Intermonte. It's about MiFID II, because I think, the performance of the stocks in the recent past impacted by MiFID II. We will see what will happen in 2019. You and others talk about a manageable pressure on margins. Obviously, 2018 performance will not be great, so it will be a testing point for everyone in this respect. So, also because you invited also some financial advisors, and maybe it's quite interesting to understand what is the real issue about also financial advisors, if they what's the main worry they have about MiFID II, more disclosure on costs and so on. Also, maybe you can give us some color about probably some customers, they receive online statements and they did not even look too much at the details, and maybe having a financial advisor that explain what happened to their wealth during the period is a point in favor of not expecting so much of a pressure on margins.
Yes. Let's say that if you look at our total assets, I think that is the most diversified portfolio. And you have several products that won't be affected, almost no impacts, real impacts. And for example, sometimes we forget that for the insurance solutions, there is IDD. And IDD strengthens three points. The first one is about the underlying, if you invest in retail or institutional share classes. And you know that in Italy, from 2007, we start investing only in institutional share classes. Second, very focused on suitability when you price several insurance riders. And probably you haven't checked out that these insurance riders are in line with the client's needs. So the focus is on suitability as well. And the third aspect on my view, that the Italian system is already pretty transparent. So the focus, on my view, this is my personal opinion, on ISVAS, won't be on transparency. It will be more on suitability. This is my personal opinion. Of course, if I sell Irish insurance policy, probably would be a different issue. But for what concerns Italian insurance wrappers, Italian traditional insurance policies, I'm not worried about that. Something that instead impressed me is we found some hidden cost in funds, because we didn't really care in the past to the total expense ratio of clients. And so we discovered, thanks to transparency, that some players charge a little bit too much. And you know what I'm talking about. So if I have one concern, is about the funds industry. And we have part of our investment on that. And this explains why we start 5 years ago changing our funds offer and working with third parties. We are squeezing a lot third parties. We are focusing more and more on a lower number of partners, increasing the assets for them, but reducing the cost. So it takes time to manage the underlying cost. And we start probably 1 year ago, more or less. So part of the journey has been done. But if I have a worry, is on the disclosure of the cost of the funds. And the financial advisors normally manage the relationship 100%. So I would be really surprised to have plenty of clients looking at their statements and saying, I'm paying too much, because they manage clients. They provide information. Normally, the clients give the envelopment to the financial advisor and say, let's go through this information together. And this is how Italy works. It's not about transparency, but it's about trust. Of course, I wouldn't need Marco if all our financial advisors were like Barbara and Pietro. So we have to work on the quality of financial advisors. And this is our competitive advantage. So I'm confident 100% in relative terms. In absolute terms, we will see some pressure in funds. And as you say, as you already seen, we have in mind a potential pressure of 5-8 basis points on our total managed products. That is just 5-7%. And we have a much higher reduction in third-party business. Much higher reduction.
Hi, it's Mauro Baragiola from Citi. A very quick question. Back on the envelope, if I take the number you gave for the asset, for the return on the assets, and for the cost, we should end up in 2021 with a net income which is quite up from 2018 for what concerns the profit for recurring revenues. But still, if I look at the consensus, it says for 2019, the net income is 210. For 2020, it's 236. So 2021, there is no consensus, but let's assume it's 250 with the same kind of growth. If I'm right, again, back on the envelope, these still assume a large contribution for performance fee in 2021. Am I wrong, or...? You're still relying quite a lot on performance fee to get the consensus.
I will hand over to Tommaso. But let's say that we do not expect the same contribution this year. We expect a higher contribution from performance fee on annual basis. Of course, if you have negative marks for the next 3 years, you are right 100%. But in normal, consider that we almost double the assets in Luxembourg. And we lowered the total expense ratio of our institutional share classes, where we work out performance fee as well under the wrapper. So I'm confident to continue to see performance fee, probably in the range of 10 basis points instead of 15, 20. But we still believe that we can have positive performance in products as well as positive performance. Tom, do you want to give us? Let's check with the
consensus. Yes. Well, the consensus is effectively, I mean, for 2021, it's not completed yet, but it's in line more or less with the growth that you mentioned, but maybe a little bit lower. Regarding performance fees, of course, I mean, our forecast is to have a normalized performance fee also for the future. We think that this year is not a benchmark for providing a guidance on performance fee that we didn't give because it's too much linked to the market evolution. So, yes, we have, I mean, a margin contribution in terms of performance fee higher than 2018 and will be in line in terms of contribution with the average that we had over the cycle in the last 4 or 5 years.
Paola Sabbione, Deutsche Bank. I have three questions. One is, with the new B2C model, when you acquire a new client directly, is there a possibility then to, say, pass this contact to your financial advisors network? And if yes, have you already planned how this is going to work? Then if you can share which is the tax rate you have embedded, do you expect any significant change or not really in the coming 3 years? And the last question, at a certain point in the presentation, I think you mentioned protection and health as a new kind of offer to propose to your clients. Is this basically like proposing PNC product and therefore gaining just an upfront fees on the distribution, or you are thinking about something a bit more complex? Thank you.
So thank you for the first question, because I mean our business is focused on financial advisors. So 100% sure we will support any cross-selling initiatives. So we are defining the rules, as it depends on the kind of clients, but of course it's part of the business to create cross-selling, upselling opportunities. And on protection and health, I will hand over to Andrea for some more details, is something more about wrappers. I mean, if you provide a long-term solution for example, succession planning, you want to be sure that whatever happens, your family is protected. So the wider the insurance riders, the better the service we are providing to our clients. For example, we create some protection, downside protection to market volatility. This is an example. This is a life policy. So more color from Andrea, and then tax rate, Tommaso.
Yeah, from protection and health, as Gianmaria said, we are studying, but we are ready to launch new insurance rider, very linked to protection in our insurance rider. The protection on market downside is very innovative. And if you imagine a financial point of view and a price on a financial basis, this is really very high. We can reduce the cost by mutuality in insurance wrapper. It's really an innovative solution we launched in our BG Stile Libero, and we aim to add in recurrent payment solutions. And this is for sure innovative for Italian system. Regarding health, we are imagining something new, not in overall the market, but in the Italian market. For example, long-term care and something else in our insurance wrapper. Some kinds of health protection, very important in the Italian space, above all in the future, when the international system of wealth and health is reducing its possibility. So we aim to provide some healthy protection to our clients in insurance wrapper.
But
The short answer is no PNC.
No PNC, yeah.
Okay. On tax rate, as you know, tax rate is linked to the mix of revenues mainly. That's why we didn't give a guidance precise, of course, in our presentation. What I can say that looking forward, we don't see any particular change in terms of taxation of the single items that we have in the P&L. So also because today our Luxembourg platform, is something that we have in place from 10 years, and we already receive rebates very important in Italy, so we don't see any pressure on that. To give a precise guidance on tax rate is difficult because it's linked to the mix of the revenues, but in normal condition, we can say that we can expect to stay in the range between 18 and 20%.
Now I think that we are finished. So thank you very much to all of you for attending this call, this presentation, and I hope that it was useful for all of you. But now I think it's time for a well-deserved lunch. So then, in that case, you can still pose questions to the top management that is available to take them. So thank you again for attending this call.
Thank you.